You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, this morning I'd love to share with you around the gift of peace. And you know, when I think about this, different things can come to mind when we think about peace. You know, perhaps you think in a noisy household, I need some calm, I need some peace and quiet. Can anyone relate to that, wanting a bit of calm and peace and quiet at times? Yeah, I see a couple of hands there. You know, peace might be connected to a particular place that is serene or calm for you. You know, peace, I sometimes think of the movie Miss Congeniality. Has anyone seen the movie Miss Congeniality with Sandra Bullock? And how every single contestant, they're asked the interview question and their answer is world peace. Everyone wants world peace. But you know, peace is that is often associated with that, the condition of being the world being absent, or a country or state being absent from turmoil or war or issues that are happening. You know, peace in all these circumstances can seem very abstract, like something that is far away or unobtainable, or it's something that can seem that it's based on a situation, a location, a circumstance. But can I encourage you this morning? Today, I'd love to encourage you that the gift of peace that God has for us, it isn't circumstantial, it isn't situational. The gift of peace that God has for us is based on who He is, and it's based on Him, and it's grounded in Him. And you know, my prayer for you, for myself, for us today, is that you would leave today experiencing a fresh outpouring of God's peace in your life, that you would experience His peace in your life. So would you join me as we open up in prayer? Lord God, I just thank You that You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. I thank You, Lord, that You have promised us Your peace. And I just pray that as I speak, Holy Spirit, that You would minister to each of our hearts, that You would bring revelation, that You would help us to experience Your power, Your presence, and You would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to make a controversial statement that may divide the room depending on where you stand. I believe gift vouchers are an excellent gift. Now, hands up if you think gift vouchers are an excellent gift. Only second to cash. Cash is even better. And how many go like, nah, gift vouchers, no. It's unthoughtful. You haven't even bothered. It's the easy way out. Yeah, true. This is often something that divides people. I know I've got my friend Fiona who often says, don't give me gift vouchers because you haven't thought about the gift. And I'm like, that's a fair comment. See, I think they're a great gift if they're thought of in terms of knowing the person. So just say my friend Tim, he's got a favorite restaurant. And I'm like, I'm going to get you a voucher for your favorite restaurant. Not just a random buy anything that you can voucher. But, you know, if someone loves massages, you get them a spa voucher. Because I think gift vouchers can be an excellent idea because you can buy whatever you want. Those who like gift vouchers, you'd rather, if you're a minimalist, you'd rather have something that you can buy what you want rather than what you don't want. But you know, Phil talked about gifts this morning, and as I think around this season of Christmas, as we buy gifts and maybe gift vouchers if you're one of those people, that God gave the greatest gift to us. He gave the greatest gift to us when He sent Jesus. You know, Jesus is the reason for this season. The old saying goes, Jesus is the reason we celebrate. Jesus is the reason that we're so grateful that we give worship and praise this morning, because that's what we remember around Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And you know, in Isaiah 6:9, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the coming of Jesus. And this is what he said in Isaiah 9 verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What powerful names for Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But you know what? That's a big claim to be the Prince of Peace. Like, you know, that's no small feat. We sang about it in that song, you know, Jehovah Shalom be our peace, and that He's the God of peace. But that's who Isaiah said Jesus was. And you know, the word for peace here, which is often used as a greeting in the Hebrew, shalom, can mean well-being, wholeness, security, safety, which brings feelings of contentment. But you know, it's a big claim, but that's who the Bible says Jesus is, the Prince of Peace. And better than anything that any voucher can buy, better than any gift that you can get as Christmas, Jesus promised you and I His gift of peace. See, when Jesus came to the earth, as we heard around communion with Trent, He lived a perfect life. He was crucified and He was buried, and so we could experience His peace. In Isaiah, again, the prophet Isaiah foretells of Jesus and what He would go through. In Isaiah 53:5, he says this, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, His punishment brought us peace, was on Him, and by His wounds we were healed. My friend, Jesus bore the punishment on the cross for our peace, for your peace, so that you could have peace in your heart and peace with God. You know, he did this because of his great love for you and I. How good is Jesus, my friends? How worthy is he of all our praise? But you know, Jesus came for our peace, but when Jesus lived on earth, he also spoke about peace. You know, he spoke about bringing peace. This is something we see in the book of John, in John chapter 14. And I love to set the scene here. So picture the scene with me. This is the week before Jesus is going to be crucified. You know, he's telling his disciples he's about to leave the earth. They're talking at the table. He's in the upper room with his disciples. And he says so many great things. You know, he talks about serving. He washes his disciples' feet and says to them, you know, I'm modeling this for you so you learn how to serve. He talks about them all loving one another. He promises them the Holy Spirit who's going to be their teacher and guide. He tells them all these great instructions. You know, it reminds me a bit of how when the first time when you're a kid and your parents decide they're going to leave you and your siblings home alone for the first time. Anyone had that experience? Some of you young guys, maybe Jossie and Diesel, you know, when your parents, the first time they say they're going to leave you home for the first time, they like give you all the instructions. They're like, don't answer the door to strangers. If someone calls up, don't tell them, oh, my parents are not at home. Tell them they're in the shower or they're cooking. Can we call you back later? You know, don't use the oven or don't use the stove. Be nice to each other. No fighting. You know, you get all these instructions because you're going to be left independent. And this is kind of like what Jesus was like with the disciples, giving them the instructions. He's like, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you some instructions. I'm giving you these promises, these tools so you can live your life. And you know, that's a bit the same for us today. You know, Jesus is alive. He's in heaven, but he's given instructions on how to live. And this is what he says to his disciples around peace. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're reading from John chapter 14, verses 27 to 29. Jesus says this, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I'll come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. My friends, can I encourage you this morning that Jesus promises his gift of peace? You know, Jesus tells his disciples he's leaving soon. This has the potential to be distressing, to cause them a bit of stress, anxiety. You know, they've left their old way of living to follow him. Perhaps they could look like this momentary freak out like Grover on Sesame Street. Ah, Jesus is leaving us. We've left our old way. What are we going to do? He's telling us all these things that are going to happen. And they feel stressed and they feel worried about it. But no, it's a bit like, I suppose, Monica or Daniel have been part of a project and your project manager or your project leader says to you, oh, you know, we started the work. Okay, now I'm going to leave you to it. See you later. I'm off. You know, that has the potential to make you feel like, what are we going to do now? Oh, no. But you know, Jesus, when he leaves, he promises his gift of peace. He promises that he will leave us his peace. He reassures the disciples in verse 27, I'm leaving you with the gift, peace of mind and heart. You know, the original word for peace here, Irene, where we get the name Irene, which means peace, can be translated to mean rest, quietness, safety, welfare, and health. Harmony, tranquility. See, Jesus promised his disciples he would leave them those things, his rest, his quietness, his assurance, his confidence. For us today, Jesus promises his gift of peace. You know, a peace that is greater than any fear, a peace that is greater than anxiety, a peace that is greater than uncertainty, than despair, but a peace that produces rest, quietness, safety, and assurance in him. And Jesus says here that this peace is different to how the world views peace. In verse 27, it says this, and the peace I give you is a gift the world I cannot give. You know, I said at the start how often peace in the world is viewed as the absence of turmoil or issues or trouble. You know, we can view peace being like, oh, it's a no worries, the easy life. But God's peace is different. It's a rest, assurance, a safety that is irrespective of circumstance. You know, Jesus' gift of peace is a supernatural peace beyond what we naturally think is possible to have. You know, have you ever met someone who may be going through the most difficult of situations, but they're so peaceful, there's such a serenity about them, there's such a peace about them. You know, that supernatural peace. I think of Jody, she's not here today, but I've asked for permission, you know, who's been through some incredibly challenging things, but when you speak to her, there is such a peace about her. You know, I think of you, Barb, and how you're always such at peace. You know, you can probably testify to this, like, this woman is unflappable. like, you know, whatever might come, whatever report she might get, whatever she hears, there's just such a peace about her. And there's such a confidence. You know, that's not a peace like in the world where it says an absence of issues, an absence of turmoil, an absence of trouble. But there is a supernatural peace that comes from a confidence and assurance of knowing who God is. Are there days that you will kind of want to bang your head against the wall and scream and shout because you're frustrated? Sure, but deep inside, there's an inner condition that you have the peace of God because you know He is with you. That's supernatural peace. That's what Jesus promises. You know, let me encourage you in the most loving way that, see, Jesus doesn't say here like, oh, you know, when you have my peace, no worries. You'll have a problem-free, easy life. In fact, on the contrary, I have to let you know that in John 16:33, Jesus says this, I've told you all of this so you may have peace in me. Here on the earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. You know, those words, you will have many trials and sorrows, they're not always the words you want to hear. You know, we don't want to hear about trials and sorrows. I don't want to hear about trials and sorrows. But it says, Jesus says, take heart. Take heart, my friend. If you're going through a situation that is tough at the moment, take heart. Be encouraged. Because Jesus then says, I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Can I encourage you, my friend, that Jesus promises His peace. Peace as a state of being, irrespective of your circumstance. Peace that recognizes that greater is He who is in you than that which is in the world. Greater is the one who lives in you than that which is in the world. Peace that recognizes that He is the God of peace, that He is the source of peace, that you can ask Him for that peace, for that rest, for that assurance, for that confidence. Whatever the world may look like, that you have got that confidence in Him. See, Paul refers many times in the Bible, in his letters, to God being the God of peace, the Lord of peace. I'll shout out a few scriptures. Romans 15:30, Romans 16:20, 1 Corinthians 14:33, 2 Corinthians 13:11, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. In all these letters, Paul refers to God as the God of peace, the Lord of peace. You know, in John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you so you may have peace in me. See, can I encourage you this morning? This peace isn't like just like a positive thinking, I'm going to be full of peace. But the Lord of peace, the God of peace, He is the source of that peace. He's the one who brings you the rest. He's the one who brings you the quietness in Him. So can I encourage you? You don't have to talk yourself into being in a peaceful state. Ask the God of peace. Ask Jesus to give you His peace. And as He does, receive God's peace. Receive it for your situation. Receive it for your everyday. You know, as we talk about gift giving, have you ever met someone who, you know, you try to give them a gift and they're like, oh, no, I can't accept that. Oh, no, I can't accept that gift. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I can't accept that gift. Can I encourage you? Let's not be those people. You know, God has His gift of peace for you, for your everyday. Whatever your season might look like, let's be people that say, God, I receive your gift of peace. I need your gift of peace, and I'm going to walk in your gift of peace. And as He gives you His peace, can I encourage you to apply it? Apply it into your everyday life. Apply God's peace. See, in John 14:27, in this same scripture, it says, so don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be. In the NIV, it says this, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. My friend, can I encourage you this morning? Jesus' gift of peace is the antidote to fear, to anxiety, to worry. But it says here, do not let or don't be troubled or afraid. You know, those speaks of verbs, of actions, that it's an application that we put to our life. That God has given us the gift of peace. He's promised us this gift of peace. We can receive it. But there's an application into our lives. You know, this is echoed in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In the NIV, it says this, do not be anxious about anything. You know, my friends, Jesus promises this amazing gift of peace, but there's an application involved in our lives that we can receive it and apply it. And you know, I liken it a little bit to like the first aid for burns. Has anyone burnt themselves and had to do first aid on it? Yep. A couple of weeks ago, we were cooking and, you know, Bevan said to me, oh, you should probably use the tongs to pick that hot thing up. And, you know, I thought I was smart and I didn't use the tongs. And obviously, I burnt my hand on it. And the first aid for burns is running it under cold running water. But, you know, I can know that the first aid for burns is running it under cold running water. But if I just know it and don't actually run the burn under cold running water, the burn doesn't get soothed, it doesn't get cooled. And maybe can I suggest to you this morning that the gift of peace is a bit like that? You know, it's available. God has promised it. You can receive it. But like you run cold water under a burn, you need to apply it to your lives. You know, apply God's peace into your lives. But I love, you know, that it's not just this kind of, oh, go ahead and apply it. The Bible actually tells us how to apply it in this scripture. If we break down Philippians 4, 6 to 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, first, pray about everything. Come to God with your worry, with the concern, with something that's on your heart. And then it says, tell God what you need. You know, God, I need your peace for this work situation. I need your peace for this report I'm getting from the doctor. I need your peace for a family member. I need your peace for this deadline. I need your peace for this busy season at work. I need your peace for this big decision I have to make. I need your peace for my children that I'm facing challenges with them. I need your peace for my spouse. I need your peace for my work, for my family, for an exam, for an assignment. Tell God what you need. And then it says here, thank him for all he has done. Lord God, I thank you that you are the God of peace and I receive your peace. And then what does it say in verse 7? Then you will experience the peace of God, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, peace, his gift of peace exceeds anything we can understand. His peace guards our hearts and mind, guards our mind, our will, our emotions. Peace that means we need not be troubled, fearful, or anxious. Peace that is present, whatever our circumstances look like. You know, is it always easy to do these things, to apply this peace? Definitely not. Does the peace always come instantaneously, or do we still have anxious thoughts that come in? That can definitely be a thing. But, you know, can I encourage you that when those anxious thoughts, when stresses come into our mind, that yes, the challenge is very real, but let's together be people that choose to apply this gift of peace, that say, you know what, God, I'm going to receive your peace and apply it. I'm going to receive it and apply it and continue to place our trust in him to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed in you. Let's together be people who keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus, who go, do you know what? There's lots happening in my world, but I keep my thoughts fixed on you because you will keep me in perfect peace. My friend, let his peace, let his rest, his quietness, lack of worry and anxiety be something that continues to flow in and through you and I each and every day. You know, my prayer for you, my prayer for myself is what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace at all times and in every way. That peace and spiritual well-being that comes to those who walk with him regardless of life circumstances. The Lord be with you all. You know, my prayer is that we would experience that peace each and every day in every circumstance. And, you know, as I wrap up this morning, I want to encourage you with a story of someone who experienced that peace, who walked in that peace. This is the story of Horatio Spafford. True story of a man, Horatio Spafford, who was a lawyer, a businessman, and a church elder in the 1800s. 2 years after losing his four-year-old son to pneumonia, Spafford sent his wife and four remaining daughters to England for vacation. He planned to meet them there later because he had business to finish up in America where they lived. You know, boarding the ship to the Villa de Havre, his family's ship sadly hit another vessel in the Atlantic Ocean and it sunk. It caused 226 people to lose their lives. Sadly, included in this death toll was all four of Spafford's daughters. Horatio's wife survived the incident, and he received the tragic news via telegram. Horatio boarded another vessel to meet his wife. During the voyage, the captain of the ship pointed out to the approximate location where the Villa de Havre had sunk. So this is where Horatio's daughters had passed away. You know, despite his great sorrow in that moment, Horatio was inspired to write a poem or a verse. The words he wrote were later composed into a song which is a well-known hymn today. It's called, It Is Well With My Soul. And you know, let me read the lyrics of the first verse to it. It says this, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You know, what powerful words. I cannot imagine going through something like that. Such an incredible challenge, tragedy, and such a challenge to my fate. And coming through it, and in that moment, writing these words, it is well with my soul. But you know, that is the supernatural gift of peace. That is the peace that God promises. That is the gift that He has for you and I. A peace that is not based on circumstances, not based on the hills or the valleys of life or the walking of life we go through. A peace that says, it is well with my soul. A peace that says, my mind, my will, my emotion, my soul can be at rest because I know who sits in the throne, because I know you are the God of peace, because I know greater is He who is in me than that which is in the world. That is the peace that we can be assured of. You know, and if you're here this morning and you say, I want that gift of peace. You know, Jesus, when He was speaking to His disciples in John 14, 27, He says, I've told you these things before they happen so that when they happen, you will believe. You will put one's faith in, you will trust. See, my friend, if you're here this morning and you want to experience that gift of peace, but you're not sure how to get there, the first step to receiving this gift of peace is putting one's faith in Jesus. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. You know, Trent shared powerfully about this around communion, that God in His great love for you and I sent Jesus to live on the earth. Jesus lived a perfect life, which qualified Him to go to the cross to die for our sins, the wrongdoing that we do. Jesus was crucified on the cross. He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again. And because of that, He made a pathway for restoration for all humanity. So through believing in Jesus, as it says in that Romans 5:1, we have been made right with God through faith in Jesus. Through believing in Jesus, you can be restored to right relationship with God. Through faith in Jesus, we can experience His peace each day, but so much more, His guidance, His strength, His grace, His love. True peace, God's peace, starts by taking this first step of faith, an internal decision to believe in Jesus. So, you know, if you're here today in the room or you're watching online, maybe now live or at a later date, and you have not taken this first step to make an internal decision to have faith in Jesus, I would love to lead you in a prayer to do so. In a moment, I'm going to pray this prayer and the church will repeat it after me. And if that's you, if you say, you know, God, I want your peace. I need your peace. I want to make an internal decision of faith in you, to follow you, to know you. Would you join me in repeating this prayer? Church, would you pray after me? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Today, I choose to believe in you and follow you. I thank you as I declare this in faith. I am made right with you. And in this moment, I experience your peace. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.